Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Down to their final out. Adams leads off third. 1-0 pitch to Wood. Swinging a high fly ball, center field, deep. Back goes Hilliard to the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! James Wood does it! The long nightmare is over!
Dave Jagler on the call yesterday. We'll start local. An 11-game losing streak comes to an end courtesy of James Wood's home run in the bottom of the 11th inning. It was his second home run of the day. He is a star, people. 2-for-5, 4 RBIs, 2 home runs, is 19th and 20th on the season. He's on pace for 43. The all-time Nats record is Alfonso Soriano's 46, but he is having himself a season, even if his team isn't. Good morning. Max has some stat he wants to read to me, which we'll get to in a moment. On the show today, you'll hear Logan Paulson talk about Washington's offseason and look ahead to 2025. Ben Standing will join us. We may have another guest depending on flight schedules back from Oklahoma City. I'm trying to get either Legs or Scott on the show after last night's Game 6 disaster for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I will get to that here momentarily. An embarrassing performance, truly, by the team that has been the best team all season long. Good morning, everybody. We were off yesterday, back at it today. Looking forward to getting to some of these quarterback rankings that, I don't know, maybe at least 20 people sent me a link to the Yahoo quarterback rankings that did not include Jaden Daniels in the top 10. Yeah, that's rather absurd at this point. But you know what? Maybe we have gotten carried away. Who knows? I do want to read this from Bobby. Bobby writes, "Coach," and I think he was referring to me, "listening to Wednesday's show about great players and championship wins creating legacy. Yes, we had a long conversation about LeBron James's insecure rant on his podcast with Steve Nash about rings not being important to a player's legacy when the only thing that's mattered to him throughout his career is the chasing of championship rings. But we had that long conversation, we took calls, and Bobby writes, "listening to Wednesday's show about great players and championship wins creating legacy, you mentioned Marino, and I agree. I mentioned Marino in the context of, I just don't think it's fair to tie championships to quarterbacks, even though fans of the NFL and of sports always do. Dan Marino got to one, didn't win any. I still personally consider Dan Marino to be a top five quarterback of all time in terms of the quarterbacks I have watched. Just didn't have enough around him. You know, in the one-and-done environment of the NFL, sometimes you get that. Bob continues, it made me wonder what would have happened had the Skins lost the 82 Super Bowl and drafted Marino at 27 instead of Darryl Green at 28. How great would the Gibbs-Marino marriage have been? You know, so I talked to Tommy about this yesterday on my podcast because over the years before he passed away and before he got to where he was not 100%. We had Bobby Beathard, the general manager of those teams in the 80s, before Charlie took over for the 91 team. A little bit before that, but that was his general managered Super Bowl season, 91. But we had Bobby Beathard on the show many times. And I loved Bobby Beathard on the show. He was such a great guy. He was such a great guest. And I asked him, you know, more than once over the years, what if Dan Marino had fallen to 28? Because Dan Marino in the 83 draft was the last of all of those quarterbacks taken. It was not expected that he would be the last of those quarterbacks taken. John Elway was selected number one overall. Then went Todd Blackledge. Then went Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, and then finally Ken O'Brien at 24. And Marino went 27 to the Dolphins. Now, back then, for those of you wondering, well, why just 28 picks? Well, there were only 28 teams in the NFL. Carolina and Jacksonville would be the next teams to enter the league in the mid-90s. But anyway, Marino fell in that draft. He was projected to go much higher, but there were, you know, stories, reports, rumors about drug use when he was at the University of Pittsburgh. And so he ended up being the last of the quarterbacks taken, and he was taken one pick ahead of Washington with the final pick in that draft, and Washington selected from Texas A&I at the time, now Texas A&M Kingsville, I believe, Darryl Green with the final pick in the first round. By the way, how about 27 and 28 in that draft, final two picks in the first round, both Hall of Famers. But I asked Bobby Beathard many times over the years, if Marino had fallen one more spot to 28, the Dolphins had taken somebody else, would you have taken Dan Marino? And he insisted over all of those years, no, we were not going to take Dan Marino. He said, and this is what he said. He said, I had Dan Marino as the number one quarterback in that draft. He said, but we would not have taken Dan Marino. Well, why not? He would have been the best player on your board. And Bobby Beathard, along with Charlie Casserly and all of the general managers that you talk to over the years, they always say, you draft best player available. You make your biggest mistakes when you reach for a position. He said, we weren't going to take Dan Marino because we had Joe Theismann. Now, Joe was in his 30s at that point, and Joe had come off a phenomenal 1982. But let's face it, in 1982, in the strike-shortened season, where Washington won that Super Bowl, and Bob's question is, if Washington had lost the Super Bowl and picked 27 in front of Miami at 28, well, the question still comes back to, would Bobby Beathard have selected Dan Marino had they had the opportunity to do it? And he insisted over the years that he would not. And he said, we just were not going to draft a quarterback. We loved Joe. We had Joe. Joe had played really well. We thought there was a lot more really good football in Joe. And we weren't going to draft as highly as I thought of Dan Marino. We were not going to draft a quarterback. Now, they never had that opportunity because the Dolphins took Marino at 27. Keep in mind, that next season, okay, Joe Theismann was the league MVP. He won the MVP in 83. That was Joe's best season. And keep in mind, this is the early 80s, 1983. Joe threw for 3,714 yards. That was the best of his career. 29 touchdowns, best of his career. The 29-11 TD to interception ratio was phenomenal for the day. He had an incredible yards per attempt number. It was his best season by far, and he won the league MVP. We know 2 years later, Lawrence Taylor, broken leg, career ends on a Monday night in November against the Giants. In 83, Joe was 34 years old, but Beathard was not ever going to take Dan Marino. Look, it worked out very well for Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs is, you know, one of the reasons Joe Gibbs is revered as much as he is because he did something that no other coach has ever done, and that is he won three Super Bowls with three different starting quarterbacks. Went to 4-1-3 over a 10-year period with three different starting quarterbacks. Still, the idea of Gibbs and Marino, man, because I say that, and Marino ended up with Don Shula, who you could argue is the greatest coach ever. That is a debate. I don't know that you can legitimately, although all of us probably would, we would certainly stretch to that level. Joe certainly in the conversation of a top five coach of all time, maybe even top three. But I think that Shula and Belichick and probably Lombardi are probably, for most NFL fans, above Joe. So Marino ended up going to one of the greatest coaches that ever coached in the NFL, and they didn't win a Super Bowl. You know, with Dolphin fans, trade, Washington's stretch without Marino, for Marino, probably three Super Bowls. Of course, Dan Marino's the start to his career, talked about this many times. You know, he ended up starting midway through his rookie season and threw 20 touchdowns in just nine games in which he started, to just six interceptions. And then year two was, I think you could argue, certainly because of the time, the greatest season for a quarterback in NFL history. He threw for 5,084 yards and 48 touchdowns when no one was throwing for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. Okay, Dan Fouts had a couple of 4,000-yard seasons, and Marino, in his second year at 23 years old, threw for 5,084 yards, 48 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Lots more interceptions were thrown. He won the MVP in 84, and then just continued to shred it for the next several years. Interesting, but yes, to answer your question, Bobby Beathard said no, would have never, ever taken Marino, even though he had Marino as the best player easily on the board, and he had him as the best quarterback in that draft. He and Elway won two. Elway went one overall, if you recall, and then forced his way out of Baltimore into a trade with Denver. That draft before last year's draft was the quarterback draft. You know, you ended up with, you know, a Hall of Famer in Elway. You ended up with a very good quarterback and Hall of Famer in Jim Kelly. You ended up with a Super Bowl starting quarterback in Tony Eason, but not a great quarterback. A decent career in Ken O'Brien, and then a Hall of Fame quarterback in Dan Marino. Three NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the first round of that draft. It'll be interesting to see, you know, as we follow the 2024 draft, because it's the most that we've ever seen in terms of quarterbacks selected in the time frame in which they were selected. Obviously, we had six taken in the top 12, but it will be interesting to see if this draft produces what that draft produces. Three Hall of Fame quarterbacks out of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. Those six. Certainly one of the six had a start to his career that would indicate that great things are to come. But not everybody agrees in some of the offseason rankings and listings of best players at positions. We'll get to Yahoo's list that many of you sent me, where Jaden's not even listed in the top 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL. We'll get to that, I promise you. I do want to get to last night's NBA game, and we will do that after this. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com, or free and live on the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Roland Williams, 16 points, throws it away. Halliburton comes up with it. Cross-court, Siakam for the slam!
That was a hell of a dunk near the end of the first half as Indiana stretched the lead that they had had for much of the first half out to its biggest of the first half, 22 at halftime. They led 64-42. The NBA Finals are tied up at 3 games apiece. We're going to have a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, first time since 2016 when Cleveland beat Golden State with Kyrie Irving pretty much as the alpha in the fourth quarter of Game 7 that particular night. A series that, when you go back and you think about it, if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for a game, Golden State probably wins that series. And I don't know that he should have been suspended. But anyway, we're going to see a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. It's awesome. Game 7s are great, especially in a championship series. But man, last night was two things for Oklahoma City. It was an embarrassing effort, and it's an alarming effort. It makes me believe that Indiana absolutely can win Game 7. And I know how these things go. I bet sports, so I understand how these things go. What you see, you know, in one game could be the complete opposite, and often is, the next game. I mean, Oklahoma City lost Game 6 against Denver, came back and blew out the Nuggets in Game 7. So they already have an experience in this postseason of losing Game 6 and coming back and winning Game 7. And they lost that Game 6 in Denver by double digits. They had a game in the conference finals against Minnesota after they took a 2-0 series lead where they lost by 42 points. Now, that was a major outlier because their other losses prior to that in the postseason all came at the hands of the Nuggets. And, you know, they were super close games. They lost by 2 in game 1. They lost in overtime in what was one of the best games of the NBA playoffs, game 3 of the Denver-OKC series. That game was insane. But you can't lay the egg that they laid last night in the NBA Finals with a chance to win a championship against an Indiana team that came in, and maybe this was a bit of possum on the part of Indiana with respect to Tyrese Halliburton's injury, because I thought he played very well, especially in that second quarter when they opened up that big lead and basically won the game with a 36-17 second quarter. You know, if for whatever reason he was, you know, as close to 100% as you could get, and he looked like it at times last night, that makes his game 5, you know, performance. And yeah, he could have been feeling much worse in game 5, and he apparently was, but you know, we'll now remember game 5 as a truly awful game. But you know who had the awful game last night? The MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, was horrendous in the basketball game. I thought he was among the 2 or 3 worst players on the floor last night. That's hard to say about an MVP. He had 8 turnovers in 3 quarters, basically 2.5 quarters of play. He played 31 minutes, did not, I don't think, enter the game in the fourth quarter with the game basically decided. He had 8 turnovers, and if you watch this game, he could have had another 2 or 3 or 4 turnovers. They were lucky as he stumbled and bumbled around to retain possession of the ball. Indiana's defense, like Oklahoma City's defense, when they have turned Indiana over, gets a lot of credit. They had 16 steals. 16 steals in the game out of the 21 turnovers. Indiana's defense gets a lot of credit, but God, was SGA sloppy. Sloppy as hell. He's been that way periodically, but he seems to get it together. The dribble is way too loose, way too exposed against a good defensive team. Same with Jalen Williams, who had 40 in game 5. He exposes the ball way too much. Way too much. Last night was interesting for you basketball people that have been watching this series. Indiana did not full court press for the first time in this series. They were not picking up full court or three quarter court. They were waiting essentially for the ball to cross half court. That's a major change in the way they've been playing. I thought that was fascinating. I actually thought, stupidly, that that was going to benefit Oklahoma City last night, when they were not pressuring full court. But it didn't matter. They picked him up half court and defended the hell out of him and, you know, forced 21 total. I think it was actually for the team stats in total turnovers, it was 22, I think. And it led to 19-20 points off those turnovers. Oh, here's the number exactly. 21 total turnovers, 19 points conceded. So Indiana didn't take advantage of it at a great rate, but not a bad rate. But wow, God, an immature, inexperienced, young team with a chance to win a championship game last night. Listen to some of these plus minuses. And some of these dudes didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City basically cut what turned out to be a 30-point lead to a 17-point loss, which was not reflective of how badly they got beat. Jalen Williams had 40 in Game 5, and his plus-minus in Game 6 was a minus 40. That's insane! He was horrendous in the game. I think a lot of it comes down to something that I started to talk about early in the series. Oklahoma City has a great basketball team. It's one of the best defensive teams in the NBA playoffs I've ever seen, and they rely a lot on their defense to create their offense, understood. But they don't do well when they are forced to play in the half court. Now, they're capable because they've got great playmakers. You know, SGA is the MVP for a reason, and he is a true superstar scorer. There is no doubt about it. And Jalen Williams can really score. And they have other options like Holmgren and, you know, even guys like Dort, you know, who can score when required. Okay? They got the two bigs, Hartenstein and Holmgren. They got bench players that come off and can score like Caruso. Wiggins has had some really good games, Terp. But they don't run stuff. You know, they're very, very much not an ISO team per se, but it's very much searching out the matchups and having their best players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander find the matchup they want and then create. Many times I have felt during this series he's forced it. So is Jalen Williams, and it's led to turnovers. But last night, the forcing of their offense against a set defense turned into a hideous-looking performance. I didn't think their effort defensively was great. They've been so good defensively. It seemed like, you know, this is a sport now where, you know, 14, 16, 18, 20-point leads are nothing. We've seen Indiana rally from them consistently throughout the postseason. Saw the Knicks do it over and over again. We saw Oklahoma City do it in their opening series against Memphis. They were down by 30, and they came back and won a game. And the effort to start the second half down 22 at halftime was embarrassing. They just came down and fired up willy-nilly three-pointers and had an opportunity because they played some D and Indiana couldn't make a shot. Nobody scored for the first 4 minutes of the third quarter. And Oklahoma City had opportunities to cut into that lead, but they looked disinterested. They looked like a young basketball team that has never been in that situation, which is true, and did not have the maturity to play the kind of game to close out the series and take home an NBA title with them last night against a team that was supposedly wounded coming in. Haliburton only had to play 23 minutes in the game. I thought he was outstanding when he was out there. Outstanding. And, you know, it's not like you can look at a statistical line on Haliburton and say, why do you think he was outstanding? Well, watch the game. You know, he was healthy. He was able to penetrate. He was able to break down the defense and make the right plays. In 23 minutes, he had 14 points, 5 assists. He was 3-for-7 from behind the arc. Siakam was once again a star for them, which he has been. Nembhard's, you know, defense was outstanding. He had 3 or 4 steals, and he was knocking down threes. They got a great performance off the bench, as they have periodically, from Obi Toppin, who really was a hell of a pickup for Indiana. And TJ McConnell, wow, has he been great. He has been great. In fact, watching him throughout the postseason and even watching him last night, it's like if they had to go without Haliburton, they'd still have a chance. Wouldn't be as good of a chance, but they'd still have a chance because of how good McConnell is. You never know if a guy like McConnell, who plays, you know, 18 to 20 minutes a game, last night 24, would be great, you know, and as effective playing 36 to 42 minutes, you know, as a starter. But there's nothing that indicates that he would struggle if given that responsibility. He's incredible. I think Oklahoma City is going to regret this. I say that. I have no idea what's going to happen in Game 7. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to watch the drama, the tension, the possession-by-possession importance of a one-and-done, you know, at this level in the NBA Finals. Same thing in the NHL. Same thing in Major League Baseball. There's just something about when those sports get to what the NFL is, you know, what the NCAA tournament is, what college football is now, you know, that one and done, you lose, you're done, you're going home. Well, both teams are going home after Game 7. But can't wait to see how this young Oklahoma City team handles it. They did not handle it well last night. An immature, terrible effort. Wow, were they bad. At one point, as they were in Game 5 and yet overcame it, at one point, I think they were 1-for-18 from behind the arc. This is not a team that's known for their three-point shooting, but they can make threes. They ended up 8-for-30 because they made a bunch with their subs in the fourth quarter. You know, Jalen Williams, the other Jalen Williams, came in and knocked down some threes. Isaiah Joe knocked down a couple of them. Somebody else did too. But they were 1-for-18 at one point. It's horrendous. Horrendous night. Embarrassing. Embarrassing, disgraceful performance by Oklahoma City. You chalk it up to youth. You chalk it up to inexperience. I think you chalk it up in some way, shape, and form to the coach. I think he's an okay coach. Certainly defensively, they do a phenomenal job. Rick Carlisle, actually, if Indiana were to win Game 7, Rick Carlisle should get the MVP. The way he switched up last night, I couldn't believe they weren't full court pressing in a game that they had to be desperate in. Maybe it was because they didn't want Halliburton, you know, having to guard full court. It was just interesting because I really think that it's one of the reasons they won Game 3 in particular is they wore out Oklahoma City, but they picked him up half court. They were outstanding. I have no feel for Game 7. It's so obvious to look at, you know, the history of these things and say, yeah, the fact that they got blown out in Game 6, this is what the NBA is at times. You get blown out, you look terrible, but at home you're a completely different team. Indiana's played some good basketball at Oklahoma City in this series. Indiana came back and won Game 1. Indiana had a legitimate chance down 2 in the fourth quarter of Game 5, you know? Oklahoma City, in their 3 games in Indiana, got handled twice, and for 42 of the 48 minutes in Game 4, a game they really needed to get and did get, they were outplayed in that one too. You know, if you added up the minutes in which one team was dominating over the other team, it's pretty close. I hope we see a competitive game. Michael Lee was on with us the other day, and he made a good point. You know, he's like, this series hasn't had, other than Game 1, you know, any magical moments, no memorable moments. It's true. We had a one-point comeback stunner in Game 1. Since then, 16 points was the margin, 9, 7, 11, and 17. You know, maybe Game 7. Building towards a Game 7 where we'll have a double overtime, you know, buzzer-beating Game 7 on Sunday night. Oklahoma City's an 8-point favorite. That's the lowest, the fewest points they've been favored by in a game at home in this series. In fact, you know, if I'm looking at this, against Minnesota... Okay, they were a 7-point favorite against Minnesota in Game 1. Against Denver, they were near double-digit favorites in all of the series. They were 8.5, 9 in the Game 7. But in this series against Indiana at home, they've been a 10-point favorite. They've been an 11.5-point favorite. They've been a 9-point favorite. And they are an 8-point favorite. So the smallest favorite they've been in Game 7. I don't like the game one way or the other. I think if I was forced to wager, I think I'd lay the points and take OKC, but I would not feel good about it at all. Yeah, we get a Game 7, though. That's exciting, even though last night was disturbing if you're an Oklahoma City fan. You can chalk it up to inexperience, immaturity, and they bounce back like they did against Denver, like they did against Minnesota when they got beat by 42. But this is a better team and a deeper team that they are facing, and a team that absolutely believes they can win, and a team that I think is flat out the better coach team. We'll see. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, ABC, Game 7, NBA Finals. Just, you don't get that, you know. I want to go back and look. I should have looked at this before the show. The Game 7. So the last one was Cavs Warriors. Before that, Spurs Heat 2013. That was a phenomenal Game 7. Celtics Lakers 2010. Pistons Spurs 2005. Knicks Rockets game 4-7 in 94. Pistons Lakers in 88. God, that was the Lakers against against Zeke, Isaiah Thomas with a bad ankle. Lakers Celtics in 84. That was an insane series. The 84 Larry Bird Magic Celtics Lakers, first time they matched up in the NBA Finals. And before that, the previous Game 7 was the one that the Bullets won over the Seattle Supersonics in 1978. You don't get these very often, right? One, two, three, four, just four of them in this century, and seven total since 1984. So over a 41-year period, we've had seven Game 7s, but we're about to get an eighth on Sunday night. All right. Want to talk briefly about something we didn't have a chance to talk about on the show on Wednesday. It'll be my What Do You Got when we come back. And then we will get to some quarterback rankings of our quarterback who's not ranked in a Yahoo top 10. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, the NBA Finals are going to a Game 7. It was a defensive and team-oriented game for the Pacers last night. Obi Toppin was the lead scorer with 20 points, and the Pacers notched 16 steals, the third most in NBA Finals history, and the most since the Boston Celtics set the record with 18 in 2008. Game 7 on Sunday night on ABC. The Nats, they break the streak. James Wood saves the day with a two-run shot in the 11th to lift the Nats over the Rockies 4-3 and end an 11-game losing streak. James Wood joined Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Ryan Zimmerman as the only four Nationals to hit 20 home runs in a season before turning 23 years old. They begin their West Coast road trip late tonight versus Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. First pitch at 10:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 9:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
So, Shedeur Sanders, I guess, has had a couple of speeding tickets here recently since arriving in Ohio. The other morning, very early in the morning, 12:24 a.m. Tuesday morning, he was driving 41 miles per hour over the speed limit of 60 miles per hour. You can do the math on that. He was doing 101 miles per hour in a black Dodge TRX truck. Apparently, recently, there was another speeding violation with him, too. Look, people speed. People get tickets. You know, I guess 41 miles per hour, that's not reckless. I've gotten reckless driving before. And it was for 20 miles per hour over the speed limit in Virginia. There are obviously much worse things that Shedeur Sanders could get caught doing than speeding. Although 101 in a 60, I don't know. I mean, I think many of you out there listening have done 100 plus before in a 60 mile per hour zone. He was stopped recently for doing 91 in a 65 mile per hour zone. According to that particular ticket, he failed to appear for an arraignment for that citation and faces $269 in fines and court costs. He can certainly handle those. I don't know what happens if he were to fail to appear or just pay outright this last ticket. Look, you know, here's the bottom line with a guy like Shedeur Sanders. We know the story. We know how much scrutiny, how much criticism, how much, you know, led into the draft at the end of April with him being a projected first rounder potentially, although ultimately I think teams kind of did not see him that way. But he ends up going fifth overall. To me, this is like kind of like what, you know, in it's apples and oranges, but what I said about Marshawn Lattimore, you know, him missing OTA days is not going to impact more likely than not his performance on the field in 2025, but it is a sliver of a, you know, glimpse into the window of decision-making. You know, he's new to the team. He didn't play well, didn't make a great first impression after the trade. Maybe I should show up, even though I'm not used to doing this for OTAs. Maybe since it's a new place and 87 out of the 90 people are showing up, maybe I should be 88 for at least a day or two. And this is under sort of the same heading. It's like, I thought I was going to go in the first round. Thought I might even go one or two overall. You know, top 10, worst case. I fell in the fifth round. Maybe I should do everything within the realm of my own decision-making to steer clear of anything that could be perceived as negative, no matter what the level of negative is. Maybe my decision-making should be to not go 101 miles per hour in a 60-mile-per-hour zone, especially when I was just cited a few weeks ago for going 91 in a 60 and got a ticket and then didn't show up for the arraignment. You know, it's decision-making more than it is anything else. It is maturity more than it is anything else. I would bet you any amount of money, his father, no matter what he might say publicly, is like, what is wrong with you, kid? Are you out of your mind? That's what you would be talking about if you were doing Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, or I would. Not that I'm, you know, looking to cut him or looking to trade him, okay? He didn't commit a felony. He didn't commit, you know, a serious crime. He didn't sexually assault somebody or, you know, or get into a bar fight and cheap shot somebody and put him in the hot. Like, none of that. He got caught speeding. But given the everything around Shedeur Sanders, wouldn't you just want anything that could be perceived as negative that's within your control to be controlled? You know, it'll still come down to whether or not he can play. Now, you know, there's always that possibility. They've seen other examples of poor decision making, and they're questioning whether or not they got a guy mature enough to play in the NFL. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with my What Do You Got is something we didn't have a chance to talk about the other day. We were planning on doing it, but we got, you know, into other things. It was what happened in the Indiana Fever Connecticut game with Caitlin Clark getting, you know, roughed up and then knocked to the ground. Somehow she ended up getting a tech. This was Marina Mabry and I forget the other player's name. J.C. Sheldon, I think. And then, by the way, this Sophie Cunningham, who I had never heard of. I've heard of now. She has gained. Somebody mentioned to me that since she became the enforcer and the protector of Caitlin Clark by basically grabbing one of the Connecticut Sun players, I guess that initially was involved, and she obviously that was actually out of everything that was done was probably the most egregious thing that was done. She has gained like between 750,000 and 1,000,000 social media followers since then. I didn't know who she was. I know who she was. I know who she is now. Do you know who Sophie Cunningham is, Max?
Yes, I was a little bit early to the Sophie Cunningham game just for alternative reasons.
For the reasons of she's very attractive.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, and seeing her stick up for Caitlin Clark, I'm like, yeah. So I'm glad to see her getting a little bit more, a little more love.
She is actually, I think, right now, the second most popular player in the WNBA. Anyway, so real quickly on this skirmish from the game the other night. You know, we're a couple of days late to the party on this conversation. It's basketball. You know what? She sells it well, too. Let me back up. What they're doing to her, you know, is now beyond the kind of rookie hazing, the rookie treatment, the welcome to the WNBA. There is clear jealousy, resentment, whatever it is. It's so petty, and it's so dumb. It's so dumb. She's the golden goose. She's getting everybody more money than they've ever thought about. Okay, there's nobody in that league, nobody that has ever done for that league what she's done for it. And they don't treat her well. But with respect to just the overall in that moment, first of all, I think she can take it, and I think she has taken it. I think she's tough. Number two is, let's not try to pretend that she doesn't sell it pretty well. You know, and I really like watching Caitlin Clark. It's the only reason I have ever watched a WNBA game. I am a fan of Caitlin Clark, not just the player. I like the way she handles herself. I think she does great with the media. I think she's handled this role of major transformational needle mover, Tiger Woods-esque for her sport. I think she's handled it very well. From afar, I don't know her. Never had her on the show, but from what I've been told from people who have, you know, are in that business and follow it, everybody seems to like her. With that said, she does play it up on the court. She bitches a lot. I didn't mean that because of it being women's basketball, just in any sense, an athlete bitching about calls, complaining about calls. She really complains about not getting calls. She is really good at selling calls and selling, you know, potential, you know, flagrants. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a part of the game. We're watching it in the finals at times with the MVP, SGA. So what we saw the other night, look, that was a nothing burger in the NBA. So, you know, let's just take a step back and say they're competitors too. They are competing at a high level. And by the way, from all accounts, this game has gotten more skilled, more athletic, more intense, more competitive in recent years. And these things happen in games. You know, she gets poked, maybe intentionally. She gets knocked down. somehow she got a tech out of all that. I have no idea how why she was called for a tech. The response after she kind of got poked was, you know, that she sold it pretty well. And then here comes the big, you know, shove and knockdown. It's really part of sports. But God, man, it does seem to happen to her a lot. And I don't know what they're doing. Like somebody, just like with the Olympic team last summer, the grown-ups, especially those responsible for the business of the WNBA, should somehow let everybody know we have lost money for 27 consecutive years, and last year, for the first time ever, we made money. We got a cut of this $76 billion NBA TV deal that we would have never gotten without her. We have more people. She has brought more people to our game than anybody in the history of our sport. She is making money for all of us. Let's maybe now back off the pettiness and the jealousy and the trying to take her out on some occasions. We really need her to play and to be a part of these games. That's the, you know, brass tacks reality of the business. We have not made any money. No one has cared about our sport since the inception of it. And we've been funded by the NBA, kept alive by the NBA. They could have at any point said, it's a nice try. We tried to do it, but we're not going to do it anymore. But they did, you know, to the tune of like $300 million over the over all those years to keep the thing afloat. And then here comes, you know, the silver bullet answer. They got it in the form of one player, you know, like golf was just rejuvenated, resuscitated in many ways by Tiger Woods, brought a whole new group of people. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, when they entered the NBA in 19 after the 79 finals for the 1979-1980 season, completely resuscitated the NBA. This is so obvious to anybody that can add, you know, one and one together. This is 1 + 1 equals not 3, but like 10. That's what she's meant to this league. But I overall, like if I were just looking at this thing, like, you know, they want to be viewed as just as intense, just as competitive, and they are. They're competitive professional athletes. Things get happen. Tempers, you know, flare. But it does seem like she's often in the crosshairs of this. And somebody should probably let everybody know that, yeah. You know, this is like a simple, you know, here's a whiteboard. We're going to draw what the league made in revenues before she joined the league and how much we lost, and then what happened when she joined the league last year. It's really simple. You know, this isn't, you know, this is Michael Scott saying to Oscar, explain it to me like I'm an 8-year-old, because it's that easy to explain. But apparently not all of the players in the league care. All right, when we come back, somebody decided to forget to include Jaden Daniels among the top 10 quarterbacks in the game. We'll tell you who that was next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. We are also on 980's YouTube channel, so you can watch us every day. When you get there, subscribe to our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the like button. I'm on from 10 to 1. Craig's on from 4 to 7.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.